Scripture that I'd like you to turn to today would be John chapter 10. We're going to read part of that chapter as our scripture lesson today. The first part of chapter 10 speaks about the Good Shepherd. It's a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ and his ministry on our behalf. Speaks of him giving his life for the sheep. And then in the last part of the chapter, it has some things to say about the sheep themselves, us who are his sheep, and that's what we're going to focus on today particularly. I'd like to start the reading at verse 22, John 10, 22. Give attention now. This is God's own word. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Excuse me. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" And the Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. We'll end the reading of God's word at that point and ask that God will be our teacher as we think about what these words are saying to us. The subject I've taken is the security of God's sheep. And I want to talk about security. Security is a very good word for us. It's something we use a lot in our vocabulary. It means we are safe, we're secure, and we have a lot of areas in our life that this idea of security comes up in. For example, we just rode on an airplane out to California, and we had to go through a security screening. Now, why do we do that? Well, it's because we don't want anybody coming on the airplane with a gun or a bomb. We want to be secure when we fly from here to there. And then somebody will come and try to sell you an ADT security system for your house. And that means so that no robbers or thieves or other people would come in and do that. We have social security that tries to protect us for future needs and so on. So this idea of security is a very important one to us. and something that we really desire, and we want to be safe, we want to be protected from harm, we want to be able to live in peace. It's an important thing for us because we don't know what a day will bring forth. We don't know what the future holds for any of us. And so we need to be secure, and really God's sheep have the privilege of being secure because our shepherd knows the future. Even though I don't know it, my shepherd knows it, and he says he will care for me and lead me out through it. And of course, the question that I want you to think about today is, do you have that security? Do you have that peace as you meet the challenges of each day? And are you content and comfortable in the sense of being secure in your future, secure even in the events that happen each day? I think God wants us to be secure in all that we do and trust him because he promises to care for us. The fellows who wrote the Westminster Confession of Faith have a chapter in there on this kind of assurance. I'd like to read a little part of it. Such as truly believe in the Lord Jesus and love him in sincerity, endeavoring to walk in all good conscience before him, may in this life be certainly assured that they are in a state of grace and may rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, which hope shall never make us ashamed. Now this certainty, it goes on to say, is not a mere conjectural or probable persuasion grounded upon the fallible hope, but it's an infallible assurance of faith founded upon the divine truth of the promises of salvation. Now what that's saying is that we can have this wonderful security, this peace of heart and mind, and live with that kind of thing. And I find in this chapter in John 10 at least five facts that give me that assurance, or that give me that security that I depend on for these events. So I'd like to examine those five things, and as you hear them, as you think about them, I trust you can claim them for yourself. Because if you can claim them, the things that God tells us here, then I think you'll have that security in your own heart. The first is that God's sheep were chosen from all eternity. God's sheep were chosen from all eternity. All through the chapter, he's talking about my sheep. Jesus speaks of a certain group of people as my sheep. And he even contrasts that in verse 26 with those who are not my sheep. So you have my sheep and you have not my sheep. And what makes that division? Well, as you read in verse 29, there was a group of people that were given by the Father to his son Jesus. And then Jesus, of course, worked out their salvation for them. We call that election. And God made choice of the rebellious people that were living in the world. God made a choice of some to show his mercy and grace, and those are classified as my sheep. And Jesus, of course, gave his life for them. And the beauty of that is that God not only chose them, but that means he knew us. He even knew our names back in eternity, before the world was here, before time even began, before we were even thought of. God knew your name, knew my name, and planned a work of redemption to bring us to himself. Now that gives me security. He says here, my sheep listen to me, my voice. I know them and they follow me. I know them. That phrase says, from eternity, God knew your name, made his choice of you, and made you one of his sheep. Now, if that's true, if my position in God's world was established in eternity, then why would I let petty problems or inconveniences of my life right now trouble me. I think I'm so secure because God planned this program for me clear back in eternity. The second thing that gives me security would be that the Savior who worked out the plan of redemption for me was God Himself. Think about that. The one who's working out the salvation is God Himself. So my security rests on the capability and credibility of my Savior. Is He able to save me? Would He be able to work this out? Or will I be disappointed someday to find that what I was trusting in was simply not going to hold? If I'm trusting in some kind of human Savior, then they can let me down. I know that that's true. But if my Savior is God Himself, the most powerful person in the whole universe, then I can be very sure. I have a security. Now, these Jews wanted to know whether Jesus was really God, was really the Messiah sent by God. So they come to Him and ask Him and said, "Tell us plainly, are you really the Messiah? Are you really the Christ?" John the Baptist had said, "I am not the Christ." So they knew about him. Clearly and plainly he laid it out. But Jesus, they wanted to find out whether he would say the same thing. Whether he, "I am the Christ." John the Baptist says, "I'm not the Christ." They wanted to hear him say plainly, "Yes, I am the Messiah." Well, he had said, "I am the good shepherd." He had said, "I am the light of the world." He had said, "I am the bread of life." They hadn't yet heard, or at least they thought they hadn't heard, those clear words, "I am the Messiah." Now, Jesus does say here, "I've told you and you didn't believe me. You didn't accept that." But what he does do here is to show them that he is God. That is, what he does tell them now demonstrates clearly that he is God. How does he do that? Verse 25, the works of that he has done, the miracles, as one translation gives it, he says, "The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me." There's your evidence. I am God. Look at these miracles. Who can heal a man who has been born blind? Who can say to a man who's been paralyzed for 38 years, "Stand up and walk"? And he does it. Who can take a few loaves of bread and feed 5,000 people? Who can walk on water? Who can change water into wine? All of these things have demonstrated that this truly is God standing in front of them. So he says, "These things show that I am the Father." And then he goes on to say, if you want really plain talk, in verse 30, "I and the Father are one." Here again, he's clearly demonstrating that he is God Himself. Two persons, Father and Son, and yet one in essence, one God. And the Jews rightly understood that this was really claiming that Jesus was God. And so they want to stone him. And why? Because that's blasphemy for a man. They thought he was only a man to claim that he was God. But he is showing here that he is God Himself. God in the flesh. Now he adds another authenticating thing from the scripture. Verse 34. He says in the scripture, doesn't it say, I have said you are gods? In some ways, we don't think this is too strong an argument. But these rulers, these fellows who were judges in the land of Israel, were being called gods because they were God's representatives, because they were trying to administer God's word. And he uses the argument, if they are called gods, then if I, who was sent by the Father himself and working among you perfectly, that is, administering the word of God perfectly, for me to say I am God or I am the Son of God is certainly perfectly legitimate. he sums it up in verse 36. If the Father set me apart as his very own and sent me into the world, why do you then accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Don't accept me unless I do what my Father does. So he says, there's the evidence. So it's his deity that we depend on, I depend on for my security. He is God and he worked out this redemption himself, and therefore I can be perfectly content that he has done that for me. Third thing he says here that gives me security would be that the life given to God's sheep is eternal life. Eternal life. He says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And then he adds, they will never perish. Never perish. There is security. God's sheep do not have probationary life that may disappear if they do something wrong or if they somehow stumble in their life each day, because our salvation does not depend on our righteousness, that is, how well I can stay with the program. It depends on his call of me, and the life that he gave me is eternal life, and therefore I can have great security, great peace in my heart, because it'll never perish. I will never perish, neither will the life that he has given me. And that's a gift of grace, certainly. By grace we're saved, not of ourselves, lest we boast about that. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He doesn't just start it and then it somehow disappears. He will finish what he started. He who begins a good work in you will bring it to completion, the scripture says. So these things give us great assurance. Our being God's sheep is something God has done for me. He made me one of his sheep, brought me to trusting in Jesus Christ, and therefore classified among his flock. And we were adopted into his family, all of these things. And when God gives a gift, he won't take it back. The gift of eternal life is given, and he won't steal it back some way. So my security rests in the fact that this gift is eternal, never perish. The fourth thing that I see here is that God's sheep are held securely in God's strong hand. Nobody can snatch us away. Verse 28, no one can snatch you out of my hand. My Father who has given you to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch you out of my Father's hand. Does that not sound like security? Who is stronger than God? Who can kind of break open his grip on his people? Who can persuade him some way or put pressure on him to let go? There is no force in the universe that can do that. God does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? So we have this beautiful description of being held in the hand of God. In Isaiah, it's described this way. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. So he's got us in his hands, and he holds us to his heart, and he's not going to drop you. He just will not drop you from that glorious position. A good illustration of this might be when a parent tries to teach a young child safety to cross the street. And so what's the parent do? He says, now take my hand and hold on tight, because streets can be dangerous. And so they go across the street. But the security here does not depend upon how well the child holds on to the parent's hand, because the parent's strength is hanging on to the child's hand, and the parent will not let go. It's the same with God. God does tell us, take hold of me, trust me, hold on to me. But my security rests in the fact that he is holding me, not that I can stay there and hold on to him. So that's really where our security rests, because no one can snatch you out of his hand. The last thing that is mentioned here is that the scripture promises to God's sheep cannot be broken. The assurance of scripture cannot be broken. In verse 35 is that truth. So the word of God that I'm depending on now for my security, my eternal security, is based on the promises that I find in the word. And the beauty of this is time cannot in any way diminish or discredit that message. Heaven and earth will pass away, the scripture says, but my word will not pass away. It's going to be there. The precepts and promises of God will be absolutely the same 1,000 years from now as they are today. The word of God does not change. God does not tell lies to us. So the promises that we have in his word are faithful promises. It says in 2 Peter 1:4, we're assured of this. It is through these great and precious promises that we become partakers of the divine nature. That's how it happens. God uses his promises, his word, and changes our heart. And that word is absolutely reliable. It cannot be broken, as it says here. And that gives me security. I have something that I can read again and again and again, and that will reassure my heart that I am secure in God's care. So these are the things that will help you and help me to have security. First of all, I've been chosen from eternity by God himself, and my Savior, who came to work out this redemption, is God himself, so it's a perfect redemption. The life that he gives me out of that work is eternal life, and I will never perish. And his word, I'm held in the hand of God. The strong hand of God will not let me go. And the word that he has given me is absolutely true. If you're in God's fold, if you have a shepherd like that, then I believe you're secure. If you're not, search him out. Find out. Search this matter. Find out if you're one of God's sheep that God has called. And that will give you absolute security. There's no safer place in the world than to be in the fold of the Good Shepherd. Let's pray.